Every time you want to say the government, insert we the people. So don't say the government did this or the government did that. It said we the people decided. We the people are going to do this because we are all in this together. To that end, there is a lot of debate going on in this environment around what is best for children and whether or not congregate care, which is basically what we provide, is the solution. There are some out there that believe moving children out of congregate care or more specifically back to their homes or to foster care is the better way to go. It has not been decided. It's still pending. We are, from my estimation on the board, and I want to make it just to be clear, I always view myself as my obligation is to better the organization from a administrative standpoint. I don't I lend my time for the kids when they need it to do this, to do that, but I don't provide any sort of care in that traditional sense. I actually have always believed I needed to keep myself at somewhat arm's length to make big decisions that some kids will like and some kids, some of the residents will or not. And to that matter, the staff also. Ultimately, I could have a decision where a staff member needs to be let go, or for that matter, we need to increase their responsibility.
Right.
So if you don't mind, that's not my specific area of need. I think I touched on it. All I would say as a board member, we're aware of it. We've begun discussion around, well, how would we evolve as an organization? Because, again, I'm a volunteer also. All the board members are volunteers. Right. Our aim is to help kids have a better life.
And you know what bothers me, what you had said about there's a percentage of the quote-unquote people who want to see them go back into foster care. Well,
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
All we're asking is that the House Intelligence Committee is allowed to do their job. That's what we want them to do.
Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders appearing on the Today Show speaking about President Trump's claims that former President Obama tapped Trump Tower. Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz is in favor of the investigation by the House Oversight Committee.
I got to believe, I think he might have something there, but if not, we're going to find out.
James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence, shooting down claims by Democrats there was collusions between the Trump campaign and Russia.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the director of national intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians.
USA Radio News.
High blood pressure is affecting Americans in epidemic proportions. If you're one of the millions trying to reduce your blood pressure to improve your health, there is a great new way to help you do it without drugs. It is the Zona, Z-O-N-A Plus. Air Force researchers discovered this effective and non-invasive treatment that works with isometric therapy. Check it out now at OrderZona.com or call 800-936-9080. Clinical studies have shown more than a 10% drop in blood pressure for regular users of Zona Plus. Get yours today by calling 800-936-9080 or going online to OrderZona.com. Listeners of this station will save $50 by using promo code USA2017. Reduce your blood pressure now the safe and drug-free way. 800-936-9080 or OrderZona.com and use promo code USA2017. That's 800-936-9080.
A new report from the State Department concerning drug use, very concerning. Here's a story from Mark Mayfield.
The State Department reports use of cocaine in this country is rising for the first time in nearly a decade. The department's annual report on the global narcotics trade says samples of the drug seized on U.S. streets show that 90% of the cocaine sold in this country comes from Colombia. The report says that Colombia's illegal coca crop has exploded since 2013 after years of falling production. The number of cocaine overdose deaths in the U.S. in 2015 was the highest since 2006.
The FBI now involved in the investigation of a potential hate crime. A Sikh man told police someone walked up to him in the Seattle area Friday and told him to go back to your country as he opened fire. The man was shot in the arm but released from the hospital. Authorities say the victim is a United States citizen from India's Punjab province. So far, there have been no arrests. The FBI says they are investigating it as a hate crime because of statements made by the gunman. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. The weather this afternoon is going to be partly sunny with a high near 47. South winds around 6 miles an hour. Tonight there are going to be a chance of showers mainly after 10 p.m. It's going to be cloudy with a low around 38. South winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And a chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 1 p.m. It'll be cloudy with a high near 59. And calm winds becoming southwest 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. And the chance of precipitation is 60%. Tuesday night, there'll be showers. Low around 46. South wind 6 to 8 miles an hour, becoming west after midnight. And a chance of precipitation is 80%. Wednesday, a chance of sprinkles after 3 p.m., but it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 62. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour with gusts as high as 22 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 30. And then Thursday afternoon, sunny with a high near 50 and a chance of rain on Thursday night and a chance of rain on Friday. But I don't feel that the weather people can figure out what's going to do later on this afternoon, let alone 5 days in advance. So that's me, though. We are very privileged today to have with us three young ladies from Good News Home for Women. And this is Mental Health Matters Hour. It's NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and we try to help families who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue, or the individual themselves who have a mental health issue and are trying to live through it. We do it by various things. We have support groups. We teach family what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course for families or people who know someone or work with someone or live with someone who has a mental health issue. Everything we do is free. There is no charge, no charge for materials or anything like that. And if you would like to some information or would like to know more about our classes or what we do, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. Anyway, we are very privileged today to have with us Dana LeClaire, is it? I said it right. Wow. And she is the addiction counselor at the Good News Home for Women. And we have two clients from Good News who I'll call Patty and Peggy. And we thank you also for coming here and, you know, sharing. You know, to me, it takes a lot of guts and courage to come and tell your stories. It really, to me, it does. So I really appreciate that you take the time to do this.
Dana, would you tell us what Good News Home for Women is and how it got started, or roughly how it got started?
Absolutely. Our founder is Tracy Ginsburg, and she started the program approximately 30 years ago. She had a dream of helping women who had been addicted and had no place to go to have a place with solace to get better and to heal. Her idea was for it to be a Christian-oriented facility with an addiction component.
Okay. And did she have someone in her family that had addiction, or was it just something that she wanted to do?
Actually, she had her own personal struggles.
Okay.
She was actually a Playboy bunny. And so she had some problems with alcohol and drugs, and she was able to overcome them, and she wanted to help other women that were on the same path.
And, you know, it's great because you said, what, 30 years you've been around?
Roughly? A little over, yeah.
A little over 30 years? Well, that's wonderful, actually. You know, they think that women are the fastest growing segment of individuals for alcohol and drug use.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I have a lot of thoughts on that. I think a lot of it is with pressure with women these days to be everything. Caregivers, homemakers, but also career women and trying to juggle all of those things. And I think sometimes the pressure of that, not to mention at a younger age, society, what we're putting on women, on how they should look, how they should appear, what they should be, we start this pressure really young.
Mm. Yeah. And it's true because, you know, if you look in today's society, it's like, oh, well, you got to play soccer and then you got to get this scholarship and then you got to do this and mm-hmm. you got to, and it starts from like when they're 5 years old, you know, or mm-hmm. older, you know, six or whatever. And I think it's terrible. You know, I'm dating myself, but when I was a kid, yeah, many, many moons ago, you played, mm-hmm. you went out and played. And my mother used to stick her head out at a fifth floor apartment building and Larry, supper's ready, you know, you come in, you know, and then you went out again. But now it's like, you know, if you don't have your nose stuck in this iPad and, you know, you're mm-hmm. texting or typing or whatever. And now, you know, they're even talking about not teaching kids how to write.
Cursive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so what are they going to do? Print their name? You know, it just seems to me kind of stupid, but that's me. I mean, in my old age, you know. But, you know, it's sad, you know. It really is, because the pressure we're putting in, not only on young girls, but on young guys, too, to do these things and get this and get that scholarship and get into, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, Harvard or whatever, you know. And I think it's terrible, mm-hmm. you know. Because they can't be kids, you know.
No.
Yeah. Can't just have fun. You know, go out and play stickball or whatever, or, you know, running bases or whatever, you know, we used to play in the streets, you know, until the buses came by and then we'd have to get off, you know. But, you know, it was just.
Well, and you add into that, look at the magazines and all the airbrushed models and this unachievable perfection that is put mm-hmm. in these young women's faces on a daily basis of this is what you're supposed to look like, but all these women are airbrushed. They're not real.
Right.
And, you know, in addition to substance use, something that goes hand in hand with that is eating disorders, you know, and that's how those get started. This idea of like, this is what I'm supposed to look like and what do I have to do to get there?
Right. So then they eat and then they force themselves to throw up and what have you, you know.
Starve themselves.
Right,
yeah.
Or starve themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder how much further it's going to go before the world realizes this is not the way to do it, you know, mm-hmm. and come around and, you know.
And it looks like, at least from my standpoint, that certain companies are trying to make great strides to do that, but I think we have a much further to go than we
think.
Yeah,
a lot more, yeah. you know. The women that you have dealt with over the years that you mm-hmm. have been doing this, Do they come from all walks of life? They're rich, poor, married, divorced, you know, unemployed, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Addiction doesn't discriminate. So we've had people come in that...
Neither does mental illness, for that matter.
That's true. You know. Absolutely. They go hand in hand. You know, we've had women that were homeless and had nothing, all the way up to women that had six-figure jobs and were struggling with substance use also.
Right.
Married, divorced, single parents. We have all walks of life.
It really is sad. And it's, you know, I think it's great that there is a place like Good News Home for Women for people to go to and get back on track, you know.
Absolutely. I would say that the majority of the women that come to us are indigent. They come with barely anything. And we... Our mission is to provide treatment to anybody that needs it, regardless of ability to pay. So often we do have women come in that have no means of paying.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, we're able to get some funding and some very generous charitable contributions to be able to help cover the cost of their stay.
It's, you know, my co-host just walked in. Tracy Ivey. What do you think is the most increasing misused drug? In your opinion, I mean,
In my opinion right now, I think the thing that's rising the most is prescription drugs. Heroin use is obviously getting a lot of news right now because of all the overdoses and the fentanyl-laced heroin.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, heroin is one of the largest abused drugs, but I think the one that's rising the most right now is prescription pills.
And why is that? Accessibility?
Absolutely. I mean, a kid only has to open their parents' medicine cabinet and have access to this.
Yeah.
You know, you sprain your ankle, doctor writes you a prescription for Vicodin, you might take one or two, throw it in your medicine cabinet, but your kid, that's a whole bottle of pills.
Right, right.
So that, I know that's one of the more widely used, not to mention a lot of times with pain management, you know, somebody gets a back injury and a lot of times are prescribed an excessive amount of pain management painkillers. And that is how a lot of the heroin use is starting now, is people are getting addicted to the opiate pills. The doctor cuts them off. They're now addicted to it. So they start buying pills on the street, which are actually very expensive, becomes too expensive. So start buying heroin, which is much cheaper.
You know, it is much cheaper. And
initially.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's still, you can, even on Flemington. You know,
absolutely.
And I know someone in the police department who has said that, you know, it's just overwhelming that it's so available.
Absolutely.
You know? And you used to think of the, motorcycle gangs and, you know, the leather jackets and stuff selling the drugs. Now, suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk down the street to sell the drugs.
Absolutely.
And it's just amazing, you know. It really is.
And you hear reports of doctors that are selling their prescriptions on the side too. And I'm not speaking of all doctors,
no,
but I've
of
seen
course
recent
not,
articles
but,
of
yeah, exactly.
Losing their license
right.
because yeah.
And they should.
Absolutely.
You know? And you know, why do you feel that women are being addicted at a younger age than, say, in the past? The stress and everything?
I think a lot of things are starting younger for this generation, to be honest. I don't know that it's specifically women, but one thing that I've noticed with our population is that the majority of our women walk in with some level of trauma from their history. So physical, emotional, sexual abuse of some nature. You know, just open the paper and see how many articles is there on a daily basis of somebody being harmed in that way. I don't know if the abuse is increasing in our society or if it's just now finally being talked about.
It just might now be talked about,
yeah.
You know. But it's just, to me, it's sad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is the average day like, you know, for someone? Well, let's backtrack a minute. How does someone get to you? Do they get recommended or do they get just walk in the door or what?
There's a couple different ways. The easiest way is they can call our facility. They can speak to our admission department. They start out doing a phone screen. It's like a 20-minute phone interview. Mm-hmm. And we use that to determine on a superficial basis if they're going to be eligible to be able to come into our program. Because of the type of level of care we are, they have to meet certain criteria.
Okay.
So once they've completed that, we have them come in for a face-to-face interview, and they meet with the addiction coordinator who gets some information from them. They meet with one of the counselors, and we get a little bit of a different conversation with them, and then they meet with our nurse. And so we all have this information. During that time, we give them paperwork to get a physical done. We give them referrals to detox if they need it, and on occasion we do require a mental health evaluation if we believe they need that before they can come in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, typically, if they go to detox, we want them to come door to door, so we don't want any few days in between. That can be dangerous for an addict having that time in between.
Right.
So if they're able to get into one of the detoxes, we set it up so they can be admitted the second they're discharged.
And do you get referrals from doctors or also? Or
not from doctors. We do get referrals from other agencies, though, like Children and Youth. Sorry, they changed their name. But the Department of Children and Youth, often probation. We get referrals from other programs. And now there is a hotline in the state of New Jersey. It's called the IME. And they also do referrals. So they take all the information. They're trying to become a central agency to help refer people into the appropriate facilities in the state.
Okay.
So there are a few avenues that people can take to make their way to us.
Okay. Tracy, you have any questions?
On the drugs that are in the parents, the Oxy, is that an opiate?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering. I guess that's pretty common.
That is pretty widely used. Percocet, Oxys, Vicodin, but then also other things like, you know, we put kids on Ritalin and Adderall, and some of them do need it, absolutely. Yeah. Some don't. Benzos are really big now as well, so Xanax, Klonopin.
Yeah, Ritalin's big. Ritalin's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Speed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What, all right, say someone gets in now and they've gone through the screening and they've gone through everything that they're supposed to do. What's an average day like?
Okay, so Monday through Friday, I will say we are very structured there, and we do try to keep them busy and focused on their recovery. So they wake up in the morning at 6:30, and we do a morning devotions at 7 a.m.
You girls get up at 6:30? Woof. I'm retired. I don't get up at 6:30. I may be awake at 6:30 because I can't sleep anymore, but, you know, I don't get up. I'm just curious.
They do a morning devotions at 7 a.m. So it's usually a mixture of the Christian devotion and then one of the 12-step devotion books. And then they have a couple hours to do a chore, make their breakfast, get showered, and then they come over to the offices around 9 o'clock.
They have to make their own breakfast and lunch and dinner? Okay.
Yes. Yep, they're responsible for everything in the house as far as the cleaning, maintaining, cooking, grocery shopping. Everybody's assigned a chore each week. So they come over to us from about 9 to 4 with a break for lunch. And from 9 to 4, they have a bunch of different classes and activities throughout the day. They have addiction topic classes, health, nutrition, relapse prevention. They have individual counseling, group counseling, creative therapy. They go to the gym 3 days a week. So they are pretty busy. Am I leaving anything out?
Meetings.
Well, that's at night, yeah. So at the end of the day, they go over. Whoever's assigned to the kitchen cooks dinner for the house. The rest of the women have a little downtime. And then after dinner, they eat a family-style dinner around the table. After dinner, they go to an outside 12-step meeting. So we take them to local NA and AA meetings.
Okay.
They go to a Bible study one night a week. Sometimes they have in-house activities. And then they come home, devotions again, snack. At 10:30? Yeah, 10:30.
How many women do you accommodate in your home?
At max, we have 12 women.
Okay.
So right now, I believe we're at 8.
Okay. And what makes Good News Home different from other organizations that do this?
So something I've noticed in my experience working in this field is that typically you come across two different types of programs. You either come across a Christian program, and the focus is on the Christian faith and developing a relationship with God, which is incredibly important. The other type of program you'll find is the Addiction 12-Step Model. The one thing that Good News Home does that I've personally never seen anywhere else, although I'm sure it exists somewhere else, is they really blend those two models together beautifully. We are a Christian-based program, so the women do experience Christian-based activities. They go to different denominational churches each week, so they get a chance to experience different types of churches and what that looks like. And we try to educate them on basics of Christianity. Okay. And God's love. On the other side of that, we do have trained addiction counselors. So all of our counselors have either a CADC, which is a certified addiction counselor, certified alcohol and drug counselor, or our licensed therapists. So we do the 12-step model. We do the different types of therapy in addition to exposing them to Christian values.
You also have a bell choir.
We do.
I know. You guys were at our church.
Okay.
A couple of weeks back, and Ernestine gave a talk, and then the choir did the bell choir.
That is one of the classes they do, yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely. That was pretty awesome, you know, because I couldn't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow, but they did really a great job.
Absolutely.
They really did.
And Ann Davis is our administrative director, and she has worked really hard with the women to try to teach them something they may never have learned. And,
right.
And that's definitely something to help build self-esteem, to show them they can learn something new and do well with it.
Uh-huh.
We have a young lady right now that took it upon herself to teach herself how to play guitar. So she's currently learning how to do that. And you know, when you're using drugs, you're not thinking about trying to play an instrument learning something new.
Right. I'm going to give you a break since you talked a while. We're going to go to Patty, okay? So why don't you take the mic? There you go. And if you don't mind, what is your addiction?
My addiction is mainly with heroin.
Okay. And how did you wind up at Good News?
I guess the way I wound up there is a little interesting because I'm on probation. I've been struggling on probation, like in and out of jail. A few months before I went to Good News Home, I got court ordered to a rehab up in New Brunswick, and it was not working out at all. So I ran from there. And then I went and turned myself in, and my probation officer chose Good News Home for me and sent me there. And he basically told me, you know, it's that or prison. And I was very, very hesitant at first. And then here I am 6 months later.
But the choice is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, which is better, you know? I mean,
oh, absolutely,
you know,
where I am
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And you've been there, what, 6 months, you said?
About six months. Weeks shy of 6 months, yeah.
What is the average stay for a woman, or does it vary?
It definitely varies. It could be anywhere from 28 days to almost 2 years, like 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't just send somebody out if they're not ready, do you? Hopefully not.
Well, we are an open-door facility, which means we can't keep somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
The doors are open at all times,
right,
far as if they needed to leave. Obviously, we make our recommendations as our professional recommendations. All of our clients, we start aftercare planning from day one. So from day one, talking to them about if you got kicked out, where do you go right now? Who are we calling? And should you complete the program, where do you go from here? Are you going home? Are you going to another facility? There are other levels of care that they can attend.
Okay.
We do have clients sometimes that are adamant that they want to leave despite what we suggest. And, you know, there's only so much we can do in those situations, but, you know, let them go with prayers
right.
and love.
Right. Patty, you have you tried being clean before?
I have. I've tried on my own, just really going to like outpatient. And I wasn't very successful with it on my own. I've probably had about 2 months clean time. And then the only other time I've had clean time was really when I was in jail.
Okay.
So this is like the longest I've ever had, not forced, like, you know, in jail.
Right.
So this is the longest I've ever had. Yesterday, I actually had 7 months clean.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you do? You do it day by day? Like,
for me,
get through today?
For me, I have to do it.
Don't worry
like that.
About tomorrow, get through today?
Yeah.
That makes sense, though, you know.
Because in the past, when I've, you know, thought too far into the future or thought, like, I can never do this again or it never works out well thinking that way. So I literally sometimes just have to stay in the minute or in the hour.
Right, right. No, that's understandable, you know, because you can get yourself in a position by thinking too far, you know, and forget what you're supposed to be doing now and thinking about what you're supposed to be, you know, want to do in the future.
Right.
And what is your goal when you get discharged?
My goal?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, when I leave, I'm going to be going to a halfway house. So I'm going to be getting integrated a little bit more into, you know, the world.
Right.
I'm going to be getting a job. And then I also, after that, like one of my main goals I want to focus on is going back to school.
I'm sorry?
Going back to school.
Going back to school? Mm-hmm. What would you like to take?
That I'm not sure about. I definitely want to take some history and science classes.
Okay.
But I'm not really sure what I want to do with that yet.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, you don't have to make a decision today. I was just curious, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you have relapsed before.
Yes.
And do you feel that being in Good News Home is a better foundation than the previous times you had tried?
This has been the only thing that's worked for me thus far.
Well, that's
so
awesome.
Something's going right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that, you know, I have an addictive personality, okay? A few years back when I was still working, a group of us would go to Atlantic City when it first opened. At the time, the tolls were a quarter. I would make sure I had enough quarters in my little coffee thing so I could get back. I would leave all my credit cards at home. I made sure my car had a full tank of gas, and I would take just a certain amount of money, and if that was gone, that was it. And it was that way with my smoking. I smoked for many years, and I always, well, can't tell you how many New Year's Eves I quit, you know, and then New Year's Day started again. But one time they put me on an operating table, turned me upside down, scraped my vocal cords, and told me that was the only time they could do it. After that, they'd have to take them out, and I'd be talking through this, you know, thing in the throat, and I said, oh, my big mouth? No, that's not going to happen. But I know that today, and I've quit smoking 28 years ago, if somebody lights up a Marlboro, I have to walk away because that's what I used to smoke. And it just, you know, and knowing me, I'd be back to smoking, you know. Do you find things like that happening to you? Certain situations where you could...
Yeah. There are definitely certain situations and people that it's hard to be around and not want to fall back into your old patterns, you know?
Right.
But the one really, really good, helpful thing that the Good News Home does is after you've been there a certain amount of time, you know, depending on your situation, they'll send you out on passes so you can actually like test out what your triggers are and how to deal with them, and then come back to, you know, like the safe environment and process it.
Okay. Yeah, that, at least you're doing it while you're still have something to fall back on, you know.
Yeah, it's
rather than do it in, you know, when you're out on your own and nothing to fall back on, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that way it would be extremely overwhelming.
Right.
So at least doing it little by little in a safe environment before, you know, you leave, it's helpful.
Right, right. Okay, Peggy, you're up.
Okay. What would you like me to say?
You have to come closer. There you go. First of all, what is your addiction?
My addiction is opiates, prescription pills, heroin, and cocaine.
How long ago did you start this?
I started my addiction back in like 2004, so like 12, 13 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been, first of all, how did you get into Good News? How did you come about to come into Good News?
Well, I came straight, like Dana was saying, to Good News Home from detox. But how I was seeking help, period, was I have a small toddler at home. And right now she stays with my mom until I'm better. And I lost her father from addiction in September. Mm. And it kind of opened my eyes. I was actively using, but it opened my eyes that, you know, she has now not one parent, but the other one is a mess. So clean it up. And that is my objective for
that's your incentive.
Treatment.
Right. And so. How old is your toddler?
She's 20 months.
Wow.
Little.
Yeah, that's they grow fast, let me tell you. enjoy them when they're little. Have you tried being clean before?
And
if so, what happened?
I can't really tell you what happened, but I can tell you where it went wrong.
Okay.
I was forced in the past to be clean by either family or, you know, the courts back before. I'm not currently involved in any legal troubles right now, but, you know, I've already done time in prison and jail, and every time in the past I was forced to be clean by a parole officer, probation officer, and I wasn't actually doing it for myself. I had no incentive to do it, whereas now I'm not under any forced for trying to get help or to remain clean. So I'm doing it for myself. Like I feel I have completely surrendered to it. It's just, you get to a point of pain where it becomes so much that you just can't do it anymore.
And your incentive is your toddler too.
A huge part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, along with your own, it's,
yeah,
you know,
the emotional trauma,
you know,
it's
internetted with, you know, with the child, you know, and, you know, what is your goal when you get discharged? Well, first of all, let's go back a minute. How long have you been there?
I've been there about 4 months now.
Okay.
So I got there November 18th.
Okay.
And my goal was to only stay for 90 days, but it's been past that. So there were a few more things that I needed to work on.
Trust me, we all have to work on something. I don't care, you know, what stage of life you're in or whatever. You all have to work on something. So, you know.
Future goal?
Yeah.
Future goal, definitely go back to school. I have a passion for helping people. So I'm not sure that I want to do it in this area of addiction yet, but definitely something to help people. And I also want to return to work.
What did you do before when you worked?
I was a waitress.
Okay.
No. Not the field I want to go back into, but...
Hey, you know, if you have to for a period of time, that's, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Do they have, like, some type of classes where you teach the women, you know, how to maybe type if they don't know how, or...
I'm
at a loss for words.
Life skills. We do a life skills class, and we also we utilize a lot of the organizations in Flemington, so Family Success.
Okay.
They also attend some of the classes there on Thursdays. So they do have an opportunity to learn, like, resume writing, budgeting,
right.
How to dress or behave on a job interview, how to cook a meal, or some people come in having never cleaned a day in their life, you know, so learning how to clean and what you need to do. Some people come in and have all those skills and they need help in another area. How to balance a checkbook.
Yeah.
Although most people don't do that anymore these days.
I still do, and I can't balance it yet. It's still never right. You know, either I got more or the bank has got more, one or the other. You know, I lost my train of thought now. Go ahead.
I may have missed this, but does anyone who's living there, are they working now at all?
No. So the level of care that we're at is a short and long-term inpatient. So based on the funding we get, they're not allowed to work. So what we would do is the next level of care down is a halfway house, and that's where they are allowed to work and have a little bit more freedom. So, for instance, Patty is going to be transitioning to a halfway house where she'll be able to start working and dip her toe in that way.
Do you find, well, I know for a fact that job interviews now are mainly, you know, you send the thing in on a computer and they very rarely talk to you face to face anymore. Do you help the women to that aspect of it?
Absolutely.
Because, well, you know, it's...
I will say the younger ladies could probably teach me more than I could teach them as far as computers
technology. Right.
But, no, people that have never learned how to type or operate a computer, absolutely. We have some of the courses on we have computers at the facility, and I believe there is like a typing tutorial on there if they want in their downtime to learn how to type. We can all teach them, you know, how to, the basics of computers, absolutely.
Right, right. Patty, let me ask you something. Do you have family who support you?
I do. I have really good support from my family.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because I think people need it. You know, yeah, it's great that Good News Home is giving you support and stuff, but, you know, when you get outside of that, you know, when you graduate, so to speak, I think it's awesome that you have family support.
I agree.
You know, Peggy, do you have it?
I do. I have a wonderful mother, and I also have family both in and out of the country that are very supportive. So I'm very grateful to have them because it's a lot harder to do it alone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can, you know, I can believe that because then you're, you know, it's like you against the world, you know, and chances of survival at that is not good, you know, but if you have support, I think that's, you know, pretty awesome, you know, and rightfully so. Go ahead, Trace.
Patty, you mentioned that, you know, being at Good News Home was the most successful, the longest amount of time. What do you think is the best thing there for you that's really helped you to stay clean?
I feel like it's a multitude of things, but definitely for me, what I needed was the structure. That has probably been the most helpful, and... you know, I really like that we get to go, like, we're not so cut off from the world. You know, the facility that I was in the few months before I came here, we were so cut off from the world, and I feel like that was one of the reasons why I ran from there. So, like, they bring us out to church, and they bring us to meetings, so you still feel like, you know, you're not totally cut off.
Because I was wondering why you said you had some hesitations about going there initially, I guess.
Yeah.
You thought it might be like the other one that you had been to.
I didn't know what I was walking into.
Yeah.
So it was a nice surprise.
Right. Do you find, when you go to do you go to the NA meetings at all?
We go to NA and AA.
Yeah. Is it tough when you're coming out of a meeting? From what I hear, sometimes the dealers are waiting outside or...
Not in that sense, no.
Okay.
It's tough to, like, see people smoking, but besides that, it's not.
Okay. And in the transitional, have you been in a transitional facility before then?
I've lived in one halfway house, and it was in Florida.
Yeah.
And down there, like, rules for halfway houses are way different and much, much, much more lax there.
Okay.
So I didn't succeed there. And up in Jersey, it's way different and much more structured.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How, can you talk maybe a little bit about the halfway house, what's around here?
The different facilities?
Yeah.
So there, unfortunately, there aren't many options for women in the state of New Jersey as far as halfway houses go. Obviously, we have Anderson House locally, and they have a halfway and a three-quarter house available. There are a few in South Jersey. There's Epiphany House, Crawford House, and Hanson House. In North Jersey, there's Mrs. Wilson's, and there's Spring House and Haley House. And I'm pretty sure that's it
for women
for the state of New Jersey. And so that's what's difficult, really, is a lot of these places. We called one that had a waiting list of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if somebody is really in desperate need of treatment, sometimes the wait is pretty significant.
Yeah.
So do you know where you'll be going? And also, Peggy, do you also want to, would you like to go to a halfway house next, or what are your options?
Yes. I haven't determined which one, but yeah, I do want to go to a halfway house and take it from there as far as where I'll go after that.
Do you choose which halfway house you go to?
Yeah.
You can choose your which one you want to go to? Okay.
Yeah, they'll take you on, like, I guess, either a tour, or you call and you ask any questions you might have.
Okay.
And then you start your process of which one you want to
go to. Does Good News recommend anyone?
Yeah.
They recommended, you know, like for you individually, or you individually?
I don't know about an individual basis. I mean, I can't really speak for other people, but I know for my basis, they give you options to choose from, and then, like I said, you can research it, and then depending upon, you know, what you're most comfortable with.
Right. Do you think that the support of the community adds to the process of someone recovering?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, in our society, there's still a huge stigma for addicts and mental health.
Oh, yeah.
huge. And I know that a lot of organizations are trying to break down that wall. There's the Anonymous People, and they did the March on Washington last year. But the community being involved and having resources available are tremendously helpful. What's great is that several years ago, there was barely any Narcotics Anonymous meetings in this area. There were mostly AA, and I think there was one a week, and now there's like four a week in this area, which doesn't sound like much, but it's huge.
Compared to what it used to be, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. It's, and that, do you ladies go every day to a NA meeting or an AA meeting?
It's pretty much every day. I would say probably about 5 days a week we get to go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that, I'm trying to be nice on how I ask this. Tracy's going, he'd be a nice, you know. But the religious aspect, do you find that helpful in Good News Home?
For me,
well, yeah, I'm speaking you individually.
It's definitely helped me get in touch with a higher power.
Okay.
'Cause I didn't have any type of higher power before I came in.
Okay.
So it's definitely helped me get in touch with a higher power. And I feel as if I went to a program that wasn't Christian-based, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't put so much focus on how important that is, especially when you're in recovery, you know,
right.
with doing steps and meetings. So it's definitely helped me with that.
Yeah. Peggy, what about you?
Absolutely. I was told one time by someone, actually right before I came in here, that when you become spiritually fit, your social and mental and physical just sort of fall into play. And that's absolutely true, because I had absolutely no sense of a higher power or God before I came in here. I knew that there was something out there. I just didn't know what it was. And I just started praying when I came in and doing what was suggested to me by my drug counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. It definitely helps lift your spirit, and it helps you to, I would say, heal. There's a lot of healing that goes on spiritually.
Well, I will tell you this. From about 20 years dealing with mental health issues and NAMI and such like that, we have four children, and my youngest son is paranoid schizophrenic, so I'm speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. If you have something that works, or you find something in your travels that works, don't change it. Stick with it. You know, a young lady from California called me one time, and she says, well, I don't take medication. I said, okay, what do you do? She says, well, I run, and I'm in holistic stuff. I said, okay, does it work for you? She says, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, keep doing it. She says, you're not going to take me to tell me to take pills? I says, first of all, I'm not a doctor. Second of all, why would I tell you to change something that works?
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, keep it up. You know, I mean, all I'm saying is maybe down the road, years down the road, you may have to think about taking a pill to go, you know, in with your running and, you know, et cetera. But, hey, and it's the same thing with you, you ladies. If it works, stick with it, you know, do it. You know, that's not necessarily means you have to, you know, become a preacher or, you know, pastor or that. But, you know, that could be an option too if you want to go that far. But I'm just saying, if this works for you, you know, keep it up. Because you need, you know, like I said, I can't tell you how many times I quit smoking. And maybe it's not the same as being addicted to drugs, but it is an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's killing your body, you know, and I have a touch of emphysema now from it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to do what works for you. And, you know, if the Christian aspect works, that's wonderful. You know, and keep it up, you know. We have about 3 minutes left. So I'm going to ask you, Dana, if someone wanted to reach out and get more information, how would they do that?
There's a couple different ways. First, they can call our admission department. So that would be 908-806-4220. And they would do extension 223. You'll bring them right to Angela.
Okay.
Angela's our intake coordinator, and she'll help them through the process. Another way is they can go through our website, and they can also email Angela. The email will be just more for information, but really to start the process, they have to make that first phone call.
Mm-hmm. And what is the website?
The website is goodnewshome.org.
Okay. That's easy to remember.
Pretty easy.
Oh, even I can remember that. Mm-hmm. You know? I can't thank you ladies enough for coming. And I'm not just saying it, but I really respect the courage that it takes to come here and talk. You know, you're on the internet, so it's going all over, okay? And I really feel that I'm very, very impressed with your courage, because I don't know if I could do it, you know? So I really thank you for coming. I can't say that enough. You know, because I really feel that, you know, that you are very courageous. And I think that you're very, from what I can tell, determined to get through this and start a new life. And I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome, because I mean it sincerely, you know. And Dana, thank you so much for coming. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
And, you know, if there's anything we can do to help down the road, you know, just Ernestine's got my number and everything.
Absolutely.
You know, so she can call. Okay?
Thank you.
So we'll see you again next week, same time, same station. Thank you again, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com.